You're listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Welcome back to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Dr. Charles Laux here. And this is our second podcast today, episode 54, with a very special guest, Dr. Kathy Hudnall. Thank you so much for being here and coming all this way from Gwinnett County to over to Cobb County to my studio. And
thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's
We're so glad
nice
that you're
to
here.
See your fabulous studio.
Well, thank you. It's awesome to have you here. And I guess we met when I moved here in 2012. And
gosh,
we're like, I know, it's right.
It's been that long.
I know. I bet he's been here that long. But yeah, and you're always just like, always on fire. And you're just like, you always have the energy, you always have a smile, and you've always just been so kind and giving and everything. And I just wanted to say thank you.
But oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm one of your biggest fans, and especially of this podcast.
Well, now you're here. And sorry it's taken so long to get you on the podcast, but there's all kinds of great things we can chat about. But what I want to do first is just to kind of let everybody know a little bit more about you.
Well, I'm originally from South Carolina. My dad was a Methodist minister, and
okay.
So we moved all around the state, and I started playing cello when we lived in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Okay.
And in the sixth grade, at, like many of my students,
you're just like
started
everybody
in
else,
the sixth
right.
grade. And I didn't take to it right away. It took a little bit of time, but when I got the bug, I was serious about it.
And you just went with it.
And I went with
did
it.
Did you start taking private lessons right away? Or did
I
it take
started
you
taking private lessons, I think, in the eighth grade, mm-hmm. and went to Brevard Music Center, and that really lit a fire under me as well.
Wow, yeah.
And I had a great teacher, Hans Schmettau, who used to teach at Converse College and at Brevard. And he was just a wonderful cello daddy.
Nice.
And really encouraged me. I don't know what else you need to know.
And then you went to college?
Went to college. I went to Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
I was a performance major at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I really practiced a lot, but I practiced with a lot of tension and a very high right shoulder.
And that's going to lead us to a couple of things we're going to talk about today.
And that's what did it with my shoulder. So I ended up switching majors to education.
Okay.
And thought, well, I'll do this for a little while and I'll get back to performance. I'll figure a way to get back to performance. And
look at you now.
Then I started to teach and I eventually realized, wow, this is really fun. I like this.
And when you make an impact on the kids, you know.
Well, yes.
You do.
And the kids give you so much as a teacher.
Yeah.
So, here I am 39 years later.
Amazing. And you're continuing to go on. So you went to Cincinnati, and then where else? You have other degrees too.
Because
you're Dr. Hudnall. So
I am.
Tell us about.
I am. it's a miracle.
Isn't it?
I got my master's in cello performance at Georgia State.
Okay.
And got my master's equivalent at that time. And then I went and got an EDS in leadership and administration.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From a school called Lincoln Memorial University, which really is they have mostly coaches that go to that school, but who can only take classes for a short period of time in the middle of the summer.
Right.
So that's what I did, thinking
that was a
route for me. And then it kind of cemented that I really didn't want to be an administrator.
You're getting your degree and said no.
I said no, this is not what I want to do. However, it gave me some good leadership information for just like running a booster club and dealing with a board now as I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, following that, I went and pursued my doctorate at Mercer University.
Okay.
And my doctorate is actually in curriculum and instruction.
Okay.
But I concentrated all of my research in music. They allowed me to do that, which was really important to me. And it was so interesting because everyone in our cohort came from a different educational background. And so it was really interesting to learn about all of the different academic subjects. I know it sounds like it could have been pretty dry, but it really was not. And it was a very intense, concentrated program, 3-year program. And I did that while I was teaching, so that was intense.
Yeah.
And
when did you finish that, your doctorate?
I finished that in 2012.
Okay, so like right as I was getting here.
Just
yeah.
as you were coming. Okay. And so that's my education. I am taking some classes now in energetic medicine.
Wow. And where are you taking those?
Just different folks around. I attended a conference.
So it's not through a university?
It's not through a university. I attended a conference for the for body mapping.
Yes.
Which is kind of like Alexander technique for musicians. And studied with a woman there for a year. And I am now, you know, taking some different classes on my own, just choosing and picking. And that's one of the joys of having the schedule that I have right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I took an Alexander class at Ohio State, and it was very eye-opening.
Oh, yes.
I mean, just how the bad habits that we have and, you know. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, your dissertation and all the things that you're doing for body wellness. I know you brought your document here.
I did, only because the title is so long.
Look at the work. Look at all that, how thick that is.
The title is so long, I never can remember it. The name of it is Teaching Relaxed Healthy Posture: An Investigation of Pedagogical Approaches and String Musicians' Performance-Related Problems. You try to remember that.
No, I couldn't remember that. Yeah, I remember having to, like, type mine out. I was like, I'm just going to copy and paste it.
I know. Oh, it was brutal.
So long. Okay. It was brutal. And so tell us, I guess, give us the abstract version or the podcast version.
The abstract version is just that, you know, of course, this has always been a passion of mine because of my own history. And over the years, I have watched what I would call an epidemic, you know, around the world of string players and other instrumentalists, as well as dancers, dealing with career-changing issues because of a lack of knowledge, I think, is what it is, and a lack of pedagogical knowledge of how to deal with these problems and how to, better yet, how to prevent them with students, you know, and teach students body awareness, teaching students to listen to their bodies as they play and become aware if something doesn't feel good or they have a pain somewhere, and the kinds of techniques of learning to play in a relaxed, healthy way.
Cool. And then do you have a lot of different strategies you use? Like, because right now, tell us about your position right now. Where you're teaching right now.
Oh, right now I am just so fortunate to be teaching at North Gwinnett Middle School with two complete master teachers, Sarah Ball and Amy Clement.
Yeah.
And I just totally looked into becoming a half-point, part-time teacher with them. So I work half-time with them, and the way I do it is to work essentially 4 days a week, but I see all the classes on those days because of the length of class and the way they have their schedule structured, and they are fortunate to see their kids every single day.
That's nice. That's the best way, as we know.
I am constantly watching kids, and they are constantly watching kids to see that things are relaxed and curved and good posture. And one of the reasons for their great success is that they don't ever let down. So
yeah.
Kids are constantly observed and fixed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they diagnose and they correct all
immediately.
So that's good. And then so do you think that you being there has made them more aware or more?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how they were before.
Yeah.
But I would guess that they already were watching things. They mm-hmm. may be a slightly more aware of it with me, you know, standing around and mm-hmm. making comments about those kinds of things as well. But I'm not sure.
Yeah. And so what advice would you give to teachers out there that are looking to maybe learn more about this or teachers that maybe don't feel like they know a lot about body mapping, or do you have resources or things that you recommend?
Well,
besides reading your whole dissertation, of course.
Yeah. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, really. I would recommend that teachers simply be aware of what your students are doing. Just make sure that you never sacrifice their physical well and emotional, of course, well-being to trying to learn something fast or trying to make something perfect.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of that, many people ignore physical problems because they are just under the pressure of a concert or adjudication or whatever that is. There are definitely resources out there. There's the Performing Arts Medical Association, otherwise known as PAMA.
PAMA.
And that's something that it's an organization that has lots of doctors in it. It's very interesting. And many of those doctors are musicians themselves.
Okay.
And while I was working on my dissertation, I went to one of their conferences in Colorado, in Aspen.
It's a little different than the ASTA conference,
oh,
probably.
Oh, goodness. It was such an intellectual event.
Right.
I listened to all of these really smart people talk about different aspects of performance issue. Mm-hmm. And they have a magazine. That's a really, really good resource.
Is it something you have to be a member of
yes.
the organization to get?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Performing Arts Medical Association. And then, of course, body mapping is the other thing that if you simply look it up, you will come up with resources mm-hmm. as well. Other than that, you know, I really just recommend that if you're taking care of yourself as a teacher, teachers are one of the most neglected groups of people, I think.
Self-neglected.
Self-neglected, worse than it, because we are all kind of, you know, martyrs for the cause.
Yeah.
And because we so passionately love what we do.
Yeah.
As a whole,
and
we put that
ahead of taking care of ourselves sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whether it is just, you know, eating a bunch of crap because you don't have time to prepare something.
Guilty.
Because you have concerts. Me too. You know, just not getting the sleep that you need to get or having the emotional concerns yourself that mm-hmm. wake you up at night.
Yeah.
You know, so self-care is where it starts. And then I think if you are truly committed to doing self-care, that makes you much more aware of your students' emotional and physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my best advice to the young teacher is be aware of your students. Really watch your students all the time mm-hmm. and let them know that your classroom is a safe place to say whatever it is that's bothering them physically.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember teaching beginning strings in Ohio and, you know, would have those fifth graders, you know, the beginners. We started fifth grade when I was there. They cut that and start sixth grade now. But it was always, you know, we'd only have the 2 30-minute lessons, which were really like 2 15 or 20-minute lessons.
Right.
By the time they all came in, we figured out where we were and we tuned, you know, got them all tuned and all that. But they were always like, well, this hurts and it shouldn't hurt.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's a matter of making those adjustments or figuring out why. Is it because they're not strong enough? So it was always like, okay, we'll do this, put your instruments down, let's take a break. Rather than trying to keep that instrument up for 15 minutes, little breaks and lots of breaking things up so that it didn't. Because anytime that they hurt, then it puts a negative, violin equals hurt or right. Violin equals I'm not comfortable.
Right.
And we have to definitely nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go. Otherwise, they're not going to continue to play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then with the older students, I've also seen kids who have learned a lot of bad habits, just that tension, whether it's here or here or in their cellist, I told myself, well, you're going to wind up walking around with your shoulder like this.
That was me. Yes. Yes.
So I don't know. I think there needs to be a lot more people like you that have a really strong awareness of, being well and, physical wellness. And obviously the mental part is a whole nother
arena.
Topic.
Yes.
Yeah. In itself,
yes.
Especially with.
But they are so linked. They are so linked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. They are.
I'm the poster child for that.
I think a lot of us are. definitely. The more clarity we have in our mind, it does affect our body. But I also think it goes the opposite way too. Like the days that I work out, the days that I'm active and exercising, I'm always like, I get the best ideas. Or
right.
Right.
I'm a walker. I'm not a runner, nice. But I'm
yeah.
a walker.
I'm not a runner anymore. My running days are slimming now. My feet
right.
are bothering me. That happens when you get old, getting old. Yeah. And I didn't run as a kid. I didn't run at all until probably I was in my 30s. That's when I started running. And so now it's catching up to me a little bit, but I have a nice bike. And so I want to do some cycling and
that's
been doing that a little bit and just doing more variety and tons of yoga.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's,
tons of yoga.
That's really
good.
I'm
the most inflexible person. Now I can touch my toes and
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. So the yoga has been really, really good. I'm a big Apple person. So the Apple Fitness program I've been doing and there's all kinds of workouts in there. I did strength and yoga this morning and you can do 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes,
cool.
whatever you want. And I think variety is the most important thing. So,
and if you can train your mind, our monkey mind that takes over and cultivate a quiet mind, that's one of the things that walking does for me. Not that I don't think about things, because like you said, it's one of my best times of inspiration, but it also helps declutter, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Sunlight.
Yes.
Fresh air.
Yes, for me, outdoors
yeah.
is really important.
Yeah. So, one of the things I had talked about in the little teaser or trailer for yours and Gregory's episodes were just take some time this summer to take care of yourself.
Right.
Because if you forget to do that, it's going to be August or September or whenever you start school again really quick.
Right.
And the summer goes fast, so we got to. This is our time to really decompress and
right.
and rejuvenate a little bit, whether it be, taking a vacation or just doing nothing. Some people just prefer to do nothing. And
right.
I'm doing this. This is work, but it's fun work. And it's great to, talk and do that. So I have this and a little bit of work, but I have a lot. I've already been in my boat 3 times over the weekend.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, you have those times that you just need to bring it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Tell us a little bit about your youth orchestra.
Well,
I'm going to pull up the screen here so I can show while we're talking.
This is the Metropolitan Youth Symphony of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We found out there's another Metropolitan Youth Symphony Orchestra in another city.
But not
so
of Atlanta.
Of Atlanta.
Yeah.
We Carl Rickey and I are the two conductors. I have the symphony orchestra, which is the most advanced level, full symphony. And he has the Philharmonia Orchestra, which is
there. You are masked.
Yes, I know. We'll have to get new pictures.
Right, right.
He has the Philharmonia Orchestra. It's the intermediate full orchestra, and he also directs a new orchestra that we have that is elementary students who have played for at least 1 year.
Okay.
And that is the most adorable group you've ever seen.
I bet.
They are just precious. And we started that this past year. It seems to be going well. We have a new staff member coming on, Mr. Jeffrey Rouser. He is a band director from Morgan County.
Okay.
Although he's taught in many different places.
Uh-huh.
He's an amazing, amazing music educator, and he will be our WINS coordinator and conductor of our Philharmonia WINS.
The
middle group.
The middle group. Oh, with Carl conducts.
And what they're doing is they have a certain amount of their program is just strings, and a certain amount of it is full orchestra. And when they have their just string rehearsal, I believe that he will take the WINS and have a special ensemble with them.
Okay.
He will also be working with the top orchestra WINS as well.
Great.
So I am just delighted to bring in a WINS specialist.
Yeah, well, they're going to, I think one of the downfalls of youth orchestra, sometimes there's so much work to do with the strings and the WINS are kind of just like...
forgotten.
Yeah,
yes.
a little bit. And especially depending on the piece, it could be... the tubas and they play five notes or something.
Right.
So that's a really great way to look at it and do it.
Yeah.
And how long have you been with them again? It's been
I've done 6 years there and now we'll be starting my seventh in a new location. We will be moving to Drew Charter School in Atlanta.
Okay. Is that a little bit further out of town then? Out of downtown area?
It's a little bit out of the downtown area, which is a good thing. And we'll have free parking.
Okay.
It's just going to be a little bit more user-friendly.
And that's important.
Yes.
And then where do you do your concerts?
Well, we do them in different places.
Okay.
We have a lot of concerts at the Rialto Theater.
Ooh, nice.
Which is down near Georgia State. Mm-hmm. And it's just a grand old theater that's just beautiful. We had a concert this past year at Georgia Tech in the First Center.
Oh, nice.
And that was very nice. Just really nice. And then we ended our year at Gas South Theater out in Duluth.
Okay.
And so that was also very nice. We were unable to secure that for this coming year. So I believe that our concerts are at both Rialto and at the first Center, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So fantastic.
That's where we are right now.
That's great.
It's been really great.
Yeah.
Been really great.
So we know that I know that you're technically retired, but it's like retired in
from
quotes,
full-time
you know.
Teaching is what I'm retired from.
Right. Yeah, but you're just working and loving it. Like half time here and the ISO.
Yes.
And then I know you do clinics and are you teaching lessons at all?
I teach cello lessons, but just very little.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it though.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
I have been doing clinics and I've been doing all state orchestras.
That's right. What were some of the recent groups that you've done?
I conducted Michigan All State Orchestra this past January and that was just delightful.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was awesome. It was so much fun.
Good state for music ed.
It was great. It was just great. I did California in a virtual concert.
Oh, tell us how that was.
That was very interesting. who knew what that was going to entail? And it was originally, of course, supposed to be in person. And so we picked out the music, did all of that. And then as COVID hit, they backed it up a year.
Oh, wow.
And then they made it virtual. and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have two rehearsals of an hour and a half each.
Okay.
And then we're going to have kids submit videos of themselves playing all of the pieces. So your rehearsal, they won't, you won't be able to hear anybody.
That's the job of the conductor.
It was just, it was crazy. And so my good friend Jim Palmer and Brian Ballmages, both the two of them really schooled me on what to do and how to create a meaningful virtual rehearsal. And between the two of them, it was a great experience.
Awesome.
It was weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was very weird, but I felt like the finished product came out pretty well, all things considered, for such.
So did they make a video?
They did.
Okay.
They sent it to someone who put it all together. And it took a while, but they finally came out with a finished product. And so that was fun. That was a fun experience. I wish that I could go back and do it in person.
Yeah.
That would be even better.
Well, maybe they'll invite you back someday.
Well, we'll see, you know, because everybody establishes
she didn't get to conduct.
I know. That would be so much
You're
fun.
You're just like a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here, kids, do this.
Yeah, at one point, I did the Mississippi All-State Orchestra. It's been a while. And South Carolina All-State Orchestra. So those are the four that I have done, and I hope to do more of them.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun.
It is.
So much fun.
It's a blast. People can contact you. I don't know if it doesn't go through the MISO website. Do you have?
There is a MISO email address, but I have a personal email address that's probably the safest bet, which is just my first and last name at gmail.com, and that is CATHIEHUDNALL at Mindspring. Gmail.com.
Great.
So,
That's perfect.
I would like to have a website within the next year.
There you go.
But I don't have that yet.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty easy to make.
They need to be.
Yeah. So that's awesome. This is great. And I'm trying to think. We had talked about something else. Tell us about that first string program that you started.
Right out of your college career. Out of my college career, I worked at the South Carolina Governor's School for the Arts, and
is that a magnet school?
Well, at the time it was a summer program.
Oh, okay.
Now it is a year long school, but at the time it was a summer program, and I was there, and our director, who was Virginia Aldrich. Very powerful lady in the state of South Carolina.
Sounds familiar.
She was a big choral teacher, music educator.
Okay.
Anyway, she came to me one day and said, Kathy, I don't know if you're interested, but there's a job opening to start a string program in Pickens County, which is the area where Clemson University is, essentially,
that
school district. And I had already taken a job in Ohio at the time. I was going to go back up and teach in Hamilton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah,
and anyway, my parents at the time were living in a little town near Pickens County. And it just seemed like the opportunity of a lifetime. They said, it's a half-time job. And I said, well, good luck. That's really a full-time position to start a string program.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and thought about it, and they said, no, we'll make it full-time if you'll come.
Nice.
So, you know, I was just innocent and naive and had no idea what I was doing. I used the ASTA How to Start a String Program book as my Bible for that whole year. And Pam Telejohn, God bless her, was my mentor, and she...
Well, you had the best mentor.
I had the best. Yeah. I had known her, you know, being from South Carolina already, but I went and saw her, and the school district was really smart with how they did it. They gave me 6 weeks to go look at programs, order instruments, recruit.
So you started this from ground zero.
There was nothing. There was
nothing.
So they gave me a homeschool, and they said, go recruit in these, like, 14 different elementary schools. So what I ended up doing was going out and recruiting and then choosing the top numbers. There ended up being, like, over 100 kids in the whole program, like 140 or something.
First year.
That first year.
Okay.
And I was teaching in 11 schools, four or five a day, most days. And I taught before school. I taught after school. This was the days before computers, so I had to go to each school and sit down with the principal and say, when can I be in your school? When would you like me?
And you had to piece this all together.
And I pieced it all together on a piece of notebook paper and made myself a schedule. And anyway, so 6 weeks later, we started, and it was very successful. I did drive my car into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
That first year, I think it was like 70,000 miles I put on my car after that
year of driving. Because those schools were kind of far apart, right?
Yeah, yes. It wasn't like in several little different towns.
Yeah.
Clemson and Pickens and Liberty and Easley.
Wow.
And so at the end of the second year, end of the first year, we took the kids and played for a board meeting, and they gave us another teacher for the second year.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I don't think you would have been able to do it if those kids all continued and we started a new batch.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were starting middle school or junior high. And so that was my first year, my first job. And I taught there for 3 years and really enjoyed it. But I always wanted to move to Atlanta because I always wanted to take lessons from Martha Gershefsky, who happened at the time to be teaching cello at Georgia State.
Oh, okay.
And she actually, this was the time that, you know, I was trying to still deal with my shoulder injury, and I had stopped playing cello for 4 years.
4 years?
4 years. It was like cutting off a limb. That's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
And anyway, she went to the doctor with me.
You were teaching that time and you couldn't
play? I was teaching, and I could play enough to teach. But I wanted to get back into some serious playing. And so I got my master's degree from her after we went to the doctor. And she literally started me from ground zero all over again.
And so that was probably, like, how did that feel? Or I'm just trying to, like, imagine that. Like,
so excited to be to think that I could play again, because it's just such a passion of mine. And that I, you know, it was weird starting over, and I probably rushed it a little bit just in my excitement. But I managed to get a performance degree in my master's in cello. So that was cool.
That was a goal.
That was a goal.
Check. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's what happened.
When did you move here then?
So I moved to Atlanta in 1986, and I was teaching in Gwinnett County at North Gwinnett High School, and when there were two students, and Lanier Middle School. And
wow. Isn't that funny because
orchestra room at the high school.
But the funny part is that David Metrio was at Lanier. And
exactly.
And those are the two schools.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's a kind of a neat coincidence.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
At the time, there was no orchestra room, so we had class in the coach's athletic office amidst cups of old chewing tobacco and stinky football uniforms and everything
that
else.
That was when I was in Ohio. I taught elementary strings in the kitchen, and we were behind everything with and there was a smelly mop bucket sitting back there.
Oh yeah.
It's interesting when you have a really small program or you're starting out.
Yes.
What you do, and then fast forward to today when you got hundreds of kids and great facilities and
right support. And there was no orchestra room at the middle school either, so I went around during the day and taught in different people's classrooms and or the hall.
Yeah. So. And we're teaching in this art supply closet as well my student teaching in Newark, Ohio.
Yes.
But it's wherever they could find the room.
That's right.
Throw you in there.
That's right.
That's amazing. Okay, cool. And then you were at how long were you at Brookwood? Was that your main school?
Well, I was at Norcross for 15 years.
Okay, wow.
Before Brookwood, I moved around a little bit, and then there was the year in Hawaii. So when I came back...
Tell us about your year in Hawaii.
Okay.
I want to do that.
So that was cool. That was really cool. One of my good friends, Dr. Kathleen Horvath. She's at Case Western University. She called me one day, and she's like, Hudnall, there's this thing. I don't know if you're interested or not, but I got a call about a position in Hawaii for next year. It's just filling in for someone while they do their doctoral coursework. And she said, I'm not interested in it. Are you interested in it? And I was like, my mom had just had a quintuple bypass, and I just couldn't imagine leaving my job.
Yeah.
And then, so I, you know, I thought about it, and then I talked to my family, and they were like, what, are you crazy? You've got to do it. You've got to try at least. So I just kind of said, okay, if it's meant to be, just let things fall into place. And they just completely fell into place. Because I had to find someone to cover for me in both schools.
Wow.
And make instructions for year-long instruction for both schools.
So you took a leave of absence?
I took a leave of absence.
Okay, so you didn't like quit.
An unpaid leave of absence.
Yeah.
Went to Hawaii and taught at the Iolani School for 10 months. And
wow.
It was just the greatest adventure. My partner and I at the time drove our car across the country, the southern part of the United States.
Yes.
Went to Los Angeles, shipped the car from Los Angeles to Honolulu so that we would have a vehicle.
A car, yeah.
Yeah. And then we flew to Hawaii, had the year. At the end of the year, we shipped the car to Seattle and then drove back across the United States, the northern part of the United States.
Wow.
So both of those journeys were just as exciting as
sure.
the year in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But everybody took me under their wing at the school. They were so kind. They made sure I ate everything, experienced everything that was Hawaii. And I got to...
But it was 10 months?
And it was 10 months.
That's
and
up.
Everyone I ever knew visited during that time.
Yeah.
I had to actually buy an extra bed so that I could have a guest room.
Nice.
And I got to play in the Maui Symphony while I was there. It was just an extra perk. That was really, really fun. But
what
that
an
was
adventure.
And I also got to teach elementary through 12th grade. So that
was like
really
a,
fun. Because I enjoy all the ages.
Sure.
I enjoy
it was just
all
everybody
the ages.
Though.
It was everybody.
Okay.
And the elementary kids could go barefoot at school. And
wow.
It was just, it was such a cultural adventure.
I bet.
That was cool.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love driving cross country, but I've never been able to do it in an enjoyable manner. It was always with like a U-Haul towing a car.
Yes.
You know?
It was,
that's not
it
fun.
Was fun. It was tiring. Yeah. It was very tiring, but it was a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been across the United States at that time, so... You know.
And being able to do the southern part and the northern part is
yeah.
also like
it was just
what a cool adventure.
It was an adventure, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love the stories. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
And it's been cool just to hear about your stories and your research and in your career. And I hope people will be interested in contacting you to come out and do their all states or the regional groups or
just
whatever.
If you have kids who are struggling with any kind of pain or mm-hmm. instrumental issues, I'd love to work with them. I'll come watch them. You know, if you need help in developing strategies or stretches for your kids.
Awesome.
You know, let me know. I'm just here to help.
Awesome. Well, I may take you up on that as well.
Okay.
That would be very cool.
Thank you, Charles.
Well, again, thanks so much for being here and driving out here and coming to the studio to record this podcast today. And
my pleasure.
It's so great to have you as a colleague and be so close and as a resource and friend and everything else. So,
well, I feel the same way.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So for everybody out there, I will be sharing Kathy's contact information and a little bio on the descriptions in the YouTube and on the podcast. So I guess that's all. Wrapping up episode number 54.
Right.
I know it's crazy, but you all have a good summer. I'll be in Alaska next week, and then when I come back, we're gonna have Katie LaBrie, a composer, and also the Rebecca McLeod from UNCG coming on to not in person, but we'll be doing those virtually. But hopefully, you'll enjoy those episodes too. Trying to squeeze as much as I can in the summer because I have the time.
That's
right. To do it, right?
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you guys all next time here on the Orchestra Teacher Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in. For resources and more information, visit orchestrateacher.net.